Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Tonalities podcast. I'm your host, James, and I'm joined by my good friend, Timmy Long.
Hi, everyone.
Rowan is on the deck. Say hi, Rowan.
Hi, Rowan.
What about Rowan's haircut, though? That is what you call a lovely hair.
I were waiting
at the weekend. Yeah, but and well, Rowan, we have two boys from the Recovery Academy, Mark Wright, who is the coordinator of the Recovery Academy in Cork, and Paul Duff is the coordinator of the Recovery Academy in Dublin. Come to you first, Paul.
Yeah.
Because you've been the longest around. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what the Recovery Academy is?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, I'm the coordinator, I'm national coordinator of Recovery Academy of Ireland, and it was an organisation that was set up in 2017. Now, it was registered as a charity in 2017. It was launched in 2016. And it was following on from a lot of work that was done voluntary from services and people coming together to look at what was taking place in regards to recovery within Ireland at that time, because in England and in other parts of the world, like America, there was a recovery movement happening. And I suppose some of the services were looking to see what was happening with respect to a recovery movement in Ireland at that time. And so they kind of identified that some of it was due to policy and how policy was written up, the national drug policy, and then some of it was what was happening on the ground in relation to service provision. So they looked at how the academy could develop as an organisation to promote and advocate for recovery services and the reorientation of recovery services as well.
So the Recovery Academy in Dublin is a separate organisation?
It's a national organisation. Yeah, it's a separate identity from any other service. However, it does require the collaboration with other services, because again, it's a service in its infancy. There's me and there's Mark who are recruited to do some of the initiatives. We rely on a lot of volunteers and stuff, you know. So
yeah. So how did it all come about for both of you? I'll go to you first.
As in the organisation or...
Yourself. You're in recovery yourself, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I am. So I'd be 12 years in recovery.
Well done.
And recovery, I suppose, for me, started with... Again, we all know the life that goes with it. I came from similar backgrounds yourself, from areas of social disadvantage. I came from Finglas. My parents done their best as what they could, you know. Yeah. I was heavily influenced by peers. And kind of went down, you could say, the wrong route, or what I felt was, I don't know, was a level of normality at that time. And thankfully, that was a number of years, as I said, 12 years ago. Thankfully, I'd met a counsellor who directed me towards treatment and rehabilitation services and fellowship. And my life changed after that, when I suppose, seek the support of existing services and seek the support of peers as well, because peers were instrumental within my recovery, you know.
Yeah, that's a massive part of anybody's recovery is finding people that are similar to yourself.
Yeah.
So you don't feel alienated, you know, outside of the box. And when you go to AA or any meetings or wherever, you're going to find somebody completely the same as yourself, because they're talking about your story. Mightn't be exactly the same, but a lot of it will be the same. And that's what keeps people in. And then it's about going for coffee. It's about going for meals when guys hit their month, hit their 12 months, their 2 years, or 10 years. And that's what it's about. Mm. It's about mixing and finding people that think the same, isn't it?
Yeah.
What about yourself, Mark?
Yeah, so I would have been the same. I come from the south side, man, and would be classed as a disadvantaged area.
The north side or the south side?
Yeah, well, I've been living over the south, north side now since I was 17. Like, so I don't know where I come from now at this stage. Well, I would have been case managed from a young age. Like, there would have been a lot of trauma within the household, a lot of addiction. I'm in recovery myself, 7 years. But it would have been without that support and that them two people that supported me at the start and that never gave up me, the case managers.
What's that, like a key worker?
Yeah, but it was different back in the day. What they were called was drugs workers. So I would have got into the Garda Youth Diversion Project, so after getting in trouble with the guards and cautions and stuff. So that's why I became involved with that drugs worker at the time. Like, and every time I went out and kept using or kept going back out there, like, she would just be knocking on my mum's door or tell him come out. So it's that support and that bond and that relationship at the start. Like,
and I suppose back then at the time you were saying, well, she ever and stop. And I'm, but when you get into recovery, you can look back at those really positive and healthy people that helped you, you know, even though you were talking to they were trying to annoy you.
She was at one of the pop-up cafes 2 weeks ago and she brought in pictures of me painting
Martina.
Teresa Clifford.
Oh, Teresa, yeah.
She brought in pictures of me and another fellow who was actually dead, no, from this illness, like painting her house. I was only a little bad walk, like, do you know what I mean? It was cool, like.
My first, like, I met Mark in aftercare 7 years ago, was it, Mark?
Yeah.
Mark was aftercare. I was only after getting out of prison, and I continued my aftercare. And I was out of treatment about 3 years at this stage, but when I got out, I had nothing in place, so I decided to do my aftercare from the treatment, because when I got out of treatment, it went straight to prison. Mm-hmm. You know, so my aftercare was 3 years down the road.
I'd say that's not common.
You know, so I met him and fucking, like, I was seeing him there while ago, and I was like looking at a completely different person. Yeah. You know, demeanor was different, you know, the anxiety was gone, the fear.
I'm not as wired.
No. He doesn't tuck his jeans into his socks anymore.
I wore these especially.
But it's brilliant. But it's just brilliant seeing people. And, like, even when I asked you your age there, and you said you were 32, like, have this thing 7 years already. It's amazing, like, you know.
Yeah.
And was it always your ambition when you come into recovery to try and go back and help people like you were helped? No, or did you fall into it?
And it was kind of a chain of events, interesting enough. It started, like, as I said, I ended up in treatment. There was a day program, really, that kind of highlighted the importance of education to me, and it done it in a totally different system than I was used to when I was younger, a system that I basically didn't conform to, or I just wasn't able to sit in the classroom and take it in that way. Some of my own, like, if you wouldn't say a adverse experience was with school, do you know that way?
I know, I was the very same. A really traumatizing experience.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Even down to, I give you a prime example. Like, I remember I was in primary school, and I wasn't one for sitting in the class and taking in the way that it was taught, you know, and I was a bit of a messer in the class. So they put you in a classroom doing pages with a group of people that were all there for messing. So you kind of learned how to mess. Mm-hmm. So you upskilled in acting the maggot, really. Mm-hmm. Do you know that way? And then when I went to secondary school, now, not to say, like, it's my experience there was I thought I'd done well in my entry exam. And when I went to school, they put me in class 107. Mm-hmm. And it was a system like that where 101 was the good. That's how I felt. Yeah. And I was in 107. So I kind of, and then it got worse then. Do you know where they made you go around with a piece of paper to make, and every time you done something wrong or done something good, you got marked and you had to bring it to the next class. And that was like, it was an awful system, you know?
Yeah, I know.
And then, ridiculous. And, like, thankfully there was, my family, my dad and all had, I suppose, instilled certain values and stuff into me. And my dad always said, get your junior cert. It's very working class background. Get your junior cert and get an apprenticeship.
Yeah.
And I tried that, and I wasn't that successful in it, as in, I suppose, from the school and stuff, it was levels of low self-esteem and lack of confidence because I felt... Exactly. Yeah. So, and I didn't learn about that until I came into a day program and realized, well, this is why you've done the things that you've done. And I was able to address them within that day program. And then they showed me a way through adult education of how I could educate myself and the importance of educating myself to become, to get out of that level of poverty or disadvantage that I was within, do you know, that way.
So, tell the people watching and listening that don't know what a day program is.
So a day program is very much a service that delivers, it could be therapeutic interventions, it could be groups where you talk about what's going on for you at any given day. It might be looking at what had gone in the past, seeing was there any trauma or anything. For me, I don't feel it was trauma. If I'd done an ACEs scale, I'd probably hit a 4 or 6, which, but within that day program, there was a big, the importance of education was instilled where you start on, I think I heard you speaking before on one of the podcasts about starting at level 3 and moving your way up.
That was me.
And that was how it was for me. And I seen that it was a way out of educating myself. And I suppose to go back to your question that you asked was that did I find, I kind of went into education and I went into do a level 5 and it was a placement on the level 5. And at the time I had a very minimal charge. It was a driving offence at the time. And because it was outstanding, I couldn't get a placement. And thankfully, a friend of mine who was in recovery had done a placement with Lynn Rowan in a service that she was in.
We know Lynn well.
Yeah. And she's done a lot for the spent convictions.
That
was, at that time, that's probably what I needed was them minimal convictions to be spent I didn't want to get into addiction services at the time because I was like, oh, I'm after coming from that. I know what, you know. But then my opportunity arose to go into a service and I learned what it was like to be on the other side. And that's where the journey began for me. Mm. That's where I realised I wanted to be in, supporting and helping and looking at addiction, you know.
About yourself, Mark, how did you get roped into doing that role?
Do you know what? I was like, I stood up from a young child. I mean, I was small, I was skinny, I was foxy. I was diagnosed with all sorts. So like, I was always kind of the black sheep as such, you know what I mean? And there would have been bullying. The dad wouldn't have been on the scene in and out of institutions and stuff like that. Mm. So that, I'll go back to case management again. Like that kid, the case manager that took an interest in me and was guiding me along the road, like never gave up on me. She always, there was two, there was Mary Carolyn, Teresa Clifford. Like I was, went into Tabor. I was a prime candidate for the pilot program of case management because I presented to the residential with multiple needs.
On that, right? Can you define case management for the people that don't know what it is?
Case management, a case manager or case management?
What?
So a case manager would be the person that a key worker would go to with the clients, and the case management would be an overarching framework of support, bringing in an interagency collaboration piece. So the homeless, the mental health, the addiction services, all coming together to support the client to get the best care possible.
Remember that now for your next big interview. Joe Corby, no being fucking. But in a nutshell, case management is key working, not just for addiction.
No.
Or the drug use, a case manager keyworks somebody in whatever area of their life that they need attention.
A framework to bring in all
housing, health,
exactly.
Education, yeah. Employment,
the
addiction
whole lot.
Might be part of it, but a case manager is like a general keyworking.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah.
So go on.
So that and you mentioned Joe. Like so, Joe back in the day was the one that was setting up the pilot program. So I got the case manager, and she stuck with me. Went out. Came back. And no matter what, I could always pick up the phone to her saying, look, I need to go into relapse prevention. I need to go back into aftercare. I need to go back into residential. And she was always there, like, do you know what I mean? Never gave up. So I suppose through that, I went to further my education, started a diploma in UCC through Focus Ireland supported me with that. Mm. And then done the degree, but I had to do placement then for the degree. So it was my old case manager that taught me about King Vara House, Joe Corby.
Mm.
She said, go up and ask him and tell him that you've done the pilot program for case management and see what he says. Will he take on a placement? I didn't know at the time that he was out setting it up. and that I was one of the first people to do it. And now I'm going up asking him to do placement. So I went up anyway and I met with Owen Coughlin and Joe Corby and I got placement up there then, like. Mm. And like, what do you want to do? I said, I just want to support people the way that I was supported through the case management procedure. And sure, he was after clicking then, like, who I was. So it was just class how it turned around of, like, I was the first pilot program and then
you come back. Full circle in a short period of time.
That happens a lot, actually, with people in recovery. Like, they actually become the person that actually helped them at the beginning of their own journey, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, there's a criminologist there, a very famous criminologist in that field, like Dr. Shad Maruna. He's from Chicago, but he's based in Queens and Belfast. But he writes about... He researches desistance, which is basically abstinence from offending behaviour. So it's like recovery for people that commit crime.
Yeah.
It goes hand in hand, recovery. If you get your recovery in check, the desistance happens because we don't commit crime when we're in recovery.
Yeah.
Crime is a bite. Anyway, I ain't gone off on it. But he talks about people that have come through crime and that are desisting now, are in recovery from crime, becoming the wounded healer. They go back into the service and they feel an obligation to help the other person. It's a way to make amends. It's a way to build back up the self-esteem. It's a way to right some of the wrongs that we've committed. So it's kind of like that, you know, people in recovery.
But there's no better person to know what that person needs then as well.
Yeah,
because they're after going through it themselves, you know. So it actually makes a lot of sense.
It's mad, like, just after doing full 360, like, and I try and support people now. Like, I very rarely say no. If someone needs something, I go above and beyond to try and get it.
Score there, so But what's your role today? Tell me a little bit about the Recovery Academy in Cork.
So the Recovery Academy Cork is a branch of the Recovery Academy Ireland. So it originally came down, Joe Corby was in talks with Paul and Paul was telling them about it, the initiatives that they were being set up in Dublin, and I was doing placement at the time and I was like, look, that sounds very interesting. I'll take my hand to it. Done it for a while, loved it. So what I do basically is I challenge stigma and I advocate on behalf of people. I set up initiatives to highlight addiction or recovery within the community. And basically I try and support people where they're at and try to support people getting into education and anything. I can take my hand to anything really. Like,
do you take referrals from agencies or do you take self-referrals?
I mean, I do both.
So somebody can ring you up in the morning, say, Mark, I'm in recovery, I'm in addiction, I'm looking to get involved. That can be done.
I do a lot of signposting. So what my piece is trying to bring services together to communicate. And if I have someone that's looking for a residential and they're coming from a homeless accommodation, I can do that as well, you know, or signposting to a group or to soccer that we've gone on a Monday. Or I try to set up fun activities, pro-social events for people that are in recovery, because we've been in doom and gloom and the negativity for so long. I want to bring the fun aspect of things. Like,
is there funding there for that then?
You have to ask Joe Corby, but there isn't at the moment, but he very rarely says no.
Next time you'll go on go-karting in the rain, give me a show.
I was actually pricing it the other day for a kids' party. It's saucy enough. Like.
But tell us a little bit about that soccer you've gone.
I have soccer for recovery month of September, and it's a big part of why we're here is to spread the message that make recovery visible within the community.
Yeah.
So I got a game of ball going up in St. Vincent's GAA club on a Monday night. Now the last night of it is next Monday, but I'm hoping to carry it forward. Just depends on St. Vincent's being nice enough to allocate the time. Like, but it's at 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock for anyone that wants to come. We have people coming from homeless accommodation, from mental health services, for addiction, from in recovery. So it's all inclusive. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Thomas Gould is the chairman of the club above, but he's Sinn Féin sport person and drugs.
He
and
actually got
and
me the approved pitch for free for the 4 weeks.
But he's coming on the podcast next week.
Nice one.
So we could talk to him about that. What about yourself, Paul? Anything happening about
Dublin?
Yeah,
so as Mark mentioned, we are an advocacy service mainly that works to promote and look at recovery initiatives in line with the National Drug Strategy, the support and recovery element of it. So there's been a lot of services involved in doing things themselves at a local level. Usually the academy runs an annual walk, which brings services together and goes through the main thoroughfare of Dublin. But unfortunately, COVID, we couldn't do that. So we've asked services to look at local initiatives, and there's a lot happening, as Mark mentioned, football, people going out on walks, doing virtual cycles, and just a lot of coming together. And we're trying to build on a year on year. We've also, with the annual walk, which is would have been the biggest thing for with regards to making recovery visible and challenging that stigma, we now have a Leave a Light On campaign, which is taking place on the 30th of September, that will look at, with prominent buildings across Ireland, lighting up on the 30th of September to in a sign of solidarity for the whole recovery movement, and to show that recovery is possible, and again challenge the stigma, as Mark mentioned, you know. So year on year, I've been employed since 2018. Since then, we're trying to, I've been targeting task force areas like Cork and Kerry to look how we could maybe collaborate and bring services, existing services together, to see what recovery initiatives can be done across Ireland, and that's continues to be the goal, you know.
It's a fantastic idea. It really, really it's going to open up a lot more doors, you know, when all the different agencies come together and they start creating. Say, for instance, we have the mini marathons down here, you know. Maybe in a few years' time, we could have a recovery marathon once, twice a year. We might start off with a few hundred people. That could turn out to 5,000-7,000 people in a few years. And look at the awareness that's creating then around the city. And I think what you're actually doing is amazing.
Yeah, so. And that's evident in, like, the Academy is only, as I said, a registered charity since 2017. The launch was 2016, but there was the walk was something that was set up in 2011. And Barry Costlow actually had was involved with that, and a number of other different services were in Dublin. And there was probably a handful of people at the first one. I remember being at the one in 2012 or something, and I think we could walk on the path. Do you know that kind of way? So, and then within the year on year, it was kind of it was on the outskirts of Dublin, and then for the last 2 years that it was hosted, it was through the main thoroughfare with 700 or 800 people, and you know, we had a big event. So to say, like, there's, we could easily do a marathon, I think, if you start build on a year on year, and that's brings together services and people in recovery. It diminishes the stigma, and I've seen that even with the 2 years that the walk went down O'Connell Street, because the first year, I think, was it 2018, and it was real, because it was O'Connell Street, and everyone, I felt, it was my observation, let's say, that people were a little, who's going to see me type of thing, do you know, or where, like, I probably felt a little of that myself. And then the year after that was a real celebration. It was a lovely warm day. People were out loud and proud. They were wearing purple. They were, it's like, I'm in recovery. Do you know, it felt that there was a lot less steam or stigma even experience, you know. And that's what it's about, because evidence shows that stigma is a huge barrier for people seeking support and seeking the help that they need in some cases, you know.
It is starting to change, though. That stigma is starting to shift. Like, I remember years ago, you daren't hear somebody say they were an alcoholic openly. Yeah. It's just, it is what it is, no.
And we're trying to celebrate it. Yeah. We're trying to normalise it. Like, I have programmes running there now. I have partnerships with the Mara, like the HSE, Coomine. We have an activity recovery programme going in the Mara. Like, there's 30 people, there's 15 on the waiting list. They have a full membership to the Mara, like, and no one knows they're in recovery in there. It's just normalised.
They don't know.
But no one knows that it's the activity recovery programme in there. Do you know what I mean?
I know, yeah.
And just, do they give that deed in for free?
No, so they pay a minimum, the participants pay a contribution, and the HSE have funded the rest of that.
That's That's actually, it's
huge. But the evidence behind it, so it's up for renewal now again in December, and the coordinator in the Mardyke, who is also the personal trainer, you get a personal training session. If you need weekly checks and check-ins by myself, we'll support you with that. We do team building events. We couldn't do it now last year over COVID. So we're hoping that if we get the funding again in December, that we'll roll out afresh more people. With Cool Mind being on board in as well, there's a physical activity program starting in Mayfield Sports Complex. Cork City Sports Partnership have agreed to fund that with a minimum contribution from the participants. So there's all that stuff that's normalising this in the community. I'm trying to set up one in each district, do you know what I mean? So I'm looking at Churchville maybe.
You know what might be cool to get going? Maybe regionally or in regionally, and then maybe overall, like a recovery forum or something. Like, you know, where you bring in, let's say in Cork, you bring in the Tabor Group, the Cool Minds, Churchfield Trust, Cork Alliance, Simon, Vincent DePaul, at a kind of like maybe a quarterly meeting where we kind of collaborate, come together, and come up with stuff as a collective, you know?
Yeah.
I did a talk there recently, not recently, but maybe a couple of months ago now, you know, Canal Communities Task Force.
Yeah.
I give a talk, there's service users forum. So I give a talk for them, right? But it wasn't just one organisation. It was any organisation within Dublin 8 and surrounds could come. But I thought, like, it'd be great if they had that sort of collaboration down there too.
Yeah.
You know, but I think you could be the missing link, do you know what I mean? Because your recovery academy,
and that's something I had to, you were on one of them presentations to Ballyferma and Talad Drug Task Force explaining the work of the academy, and that's, again, getting the message out, and even the academy was set up as a forum, and that's how it, I suppose, evolved into a national organisation. So,
yeah,
it's a great idea to be done at local level.
Do you know the way some of the fellowships, they do like, not the retreats, but what are they called?
The conventions.
Recovery Academy convention. That'd be some crack, wouldn't it?
Do you know what? No, it was like, I was so excited 2 years ago before it was launched in the City Hall with the Face of Recovery. And I think we were doing an official Cork launch like 3-4 weeks after that. But then we had the venue booked, the band was booked, the food was booked. It was on a Thursday and we got shut down, locked down on the Wednesday. So we didn't actually get to launch. So I was pushed onto like social media and trying to build the platform without the capabilities of going out to tell people about it. So it's only in its early days since we're kind of out of lockdown, but 100%.
I totally love to go to a Recovery Academy
100%
convention.
100%,
you know, like, get Willa White down to do a show, or Timmy might do a strip or something for the old Isles.
you read my mind,
But you get first buy-in from people. We've had a lot of people on the podcast that are in recovery, that are entertainers, that are involved in singing and acting.
Yeah.
And we've mentioned something like this. We floated the idea of maybe a recovery festival, and we've had a few people on here, the whole bands, or they're all in recovery, and they'd love to do anything like that.
And something similar, that's what's been happening in Ballymun. They've had a month of events over the month of September. Finglas has done a month of a calendar of events as well. So it's happening at a local level there. It's the more people see what could be done, the more opportunity for it to be done. Do you know?
But it means a lot more. Like, it means a lot more than just recovery. It means people really overcome their trauma and their mental health issues. It's not just about being abstinent from alcohol and drugs. It's about growing as human beings as well, and change, like as I said to you earlier, like the difference I see in you, that's recovery.
Yeah.
You know, recovery to me is somebody really facing those demons that they drank on, drugged on, or whatever, and dealing with services like the services that you're providing, James is providing, like, and counselors and psychotherapists and all these. There is the recovery aspect. You know, there's abstinence and there's recovery, and that's the recovery, and that's how people get well and they're able to deal.
You're providing the service too, through the podcast and through the car wash.
Yeah, we were saying that a while ago.
Yeah, we were actually talking about that earlier on. Again, the another piece of that, how the academy came about, was there was a piece of research done as addiction recovery, a contagious paradigm, and then David Best has wrote, he's a prolific researcher on the topic of research, and he talks about recovery being a contagion of hope. And that's very much what it is. You see, you mentioned fellowship, you mentioned about even being on a podcast speaking like this, people with lived experience saying this is what they done. It can instill hope in someone, in many people.
Mm-hmm.
And but then it's about opportunity, like what you've talked about doing, setting up a car wash, setting up football games, getting people involved, mm-hmm. a sense of it, there's an acronym that's used in the field of mental health, and it's CHIM. It's connection, hope, identity, meaning, and empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're trying to create within mm-hmm. the whole recovery movement. That's mm-hmm. what you're creating with the people with lived experience sharing mm-hmm. their stories.
It's like Maslow's hierarchy.
Yeah, needs, yeah, 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 yeah.
It's the exact same thing. You know, once you get the food and water, you kind of move up yourself, yeah. Steve, and all these other mm-hmm. things where someone's kind of their self kind of noted and their self yeah. enlightened
in recovery, then it's like yeah. get rid of yeah. the heroin and the crack and the alcohol and then move on. Then, right, this maybe I need a job now because I need to be independent, and the education and then the relationships when you're in a good place. So, everything, but that is recovery.
Mm.
Well, one thing I wanted to say to you there, what was it? It's something in my head down now.
What was it? The two boys are good looking.
No, I come back to it. But something I was thinking about there when you were talking was I'd love to get part of some sort of like a bowling tournament or a pool tournament or something like that. Because there's a big fellowship in Cork.
There is.
And in Dublin.
Mm.
You know, and it'd be great, you know, to you know some of the fellowships are very they're anonymous.
Mm.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
So by nature they're not visible.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So that's grand if that's what you want to do. Mm. And I was part of that for a long time. Mm. And occasionally, you know, that's great. But what we're trying to do is become more visible. Oh yeah, what I was thinking of was, so on that point, while I'm on it, right, it's about, you know, having fun activities that are visible, that yeah. you're not, yeah, we are in recovery, you know, we're not ashamed of it, yeah. you know, yeah, we've done bad things, but give us a fucking break, do you know what I mean? And showing people that, look at the crack the boys are having. Yeah, I'm in the depths of it here.
Yeah.
You could be in the depths of it. You could go down and join in that game of pool.
Mm.
You could take,
I suppose, you know, and with recovery month being September, I love fucking September because it's to show and make recovery visible. So
you only love September because the six kids goes to school.
Well, there's that as well. But it's about highlighting it and setting up these initiatives. So it's this year because COVID has slowed down and we can actually go out. We set up pop-up cafes. So in Cork, we held the first one in the Garden Cafe last month. So we've three now next week. We've one last week.
What's the ones next week?
So next week, the one is Monday night after the game of ball up in St. Vincent's GA from 6 to 8:30. There's a mobile coffee truck going to go up. We're going to have lights. We're going to have banners of a pop-up cafe on it. And
we'll be there. I'll be there, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, 100%.
Nice one.
Yeah.
The next one is on Tuesday, so I'm Corking.
We have a podcast actually
on Monday.
You can do it up outside it. Yeah.
We'll figure it out, anyway.
The next one is in Tuesday in Tralee. So I broke ground with Kerry. I'm one person, so it took me a while to break ground with Kerry this year. But Tralee have agreed to light up prominent buildings as well, and to have a pop up cafe down in Shanakeel. And then the final one then is in Fermoy, Cool Mind Information Night. We're going to have a pop-up there in the community centre on Wednesday from 2 to 4.
That's great stuff.
All a part of the Leave a Light On campaign, which I've been driving around most nights, lighting up Recovery Academy members' houses, services, Cool Mind Hubs, Chalk Fair is going doing it, Besborough Centre, all these places in the community that have agreed for me to shine lights on their building purple. To highlight and challenge the stigma that's behind addiction.
Yeah.
And collaboration piece with the City Hall as well. We've got the City Hall, the County Hall, and the Shaky Bridge lit up purple on the 30th for international.
I'd be disappointed if you don't get the reservoir lit up in Knockneheny.
I saw it last week.
There was
something lit up for the Cork game, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the Cork game.
If they can light up for the Cork game, they can light up. I went up. I drove up. I was showing it to him a while ago, and I said I'd love to get it now.
That's our logo.
Yeah, I've seen that.
But the thing I forgot that I wanted to ask you was, would I be right in saying that it's the Recovery Academy? It's not just for people in recovery. it can be for people with an interest in it, our family members. Is that fair enough? The walks, the events and stuff like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it's anyone who is, I suppose, allies and supporters of the recovery movement, whether it's their family, friends that are in recovery and they just want to show an element of support, you know?
Sure, we all know addiction affects every flipping family member. Do you know what I mean? So it's for everyone. I'm all inclusive.
Yeah. But we've a lot of people that watch this podcast. They have no family member in recovery themselves, but they have an interest in it. They have an interest in drugs. They have an interest in how people end up in it and how they change their lives around, you know? So they're great allies to have.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
because it just means that we have a wider audience, you know, or a wider, not audience, but a wider family, you know, we can cast in that wider. So all is welcome.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Sounds great. But well done, lads.
If we can help you out in any way, let us know. We're pulling in the same direction. You know what I mean? We're all like, it's, as Joanna said to us last week, it's always recovery month in this one Ari's house. You know, we shine the light all the time. We'll keep it always on the agenda.
Like, these pop ups aren't just going to be for recovery month. I'm going to host them throughout the winter and I'm looking for initiatives to do. Okay, the soccer I could do up until a certain time or maybe the weather and stuff like that. But the pool, the bowling, the pop up cafes, like, this is going to happen going forward. It's it's going
to
be normal.
A bit of mountain climbing as well.
Yeah, not that fit.
We'll get you into
hill walking, and then.
Do you mind if I bring the four kids?
Two tandems.
You've eight kids. Don't be lying.
I've enough. With the 3-year-old, I would struggle. The other 3 would fly up it.
Jesus Christ! But yeah, the hill walking is a massive thing for it, because you know when you're walking hills, or mountains or whatever. You might have a crew of 15, 20, but you'll get an opportunity to speak to every single one of them over the 4 or 5 hours, because people drift, people walk forward, and you're listening to people's stories. You could be talking to somebody you never met before and you could be listening to their story and you might be blown away, you know. So I think that's a great idea, as well as maybe introduce a bit of hill walking. And we do quite a bit of it with our own kind of local lads and stuff like that. And
I see it on social media.
But it's a pleasure talking to you, lads.
Nice one.
Thanks for having us. We could plug the 30th of September and ask people. You mentioned families, family members, or allies, if they can light up their house and post it on social media and just get the message out as quickly as possible.
Purple. It's then hashtag Leave a Light On campaign.
So the 30th of September.
It's International Recovery Day, so I'm highlighting buildings all of Recovery Month because I like to celebrate it in style.
We'd have to do something decent for that day as well.
So if I put a purple
cloth or something over my light,
there's a t-shirt there.
Well, health and safety now,
I actually have spotlights in the boat. I got funding from off Joe Kirby this year, so I have 3 spotlights. Yeah. You've seen them, have you? Mm. They have 57 different colours, but they have purple. They're like, they hurt your eyes if you look at them. Yeah. So I can light up your house or the two Naries if you get your new building. I can light that up as well.
Well, I guarantee you this, right? On the 30th, come down to the marina where our new building is. I'll throw that big flag up on the side of the building and you'll shine the light.
Nice one. Done deal.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
All right. See you then.
Thanks very much.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
God bless. See you all next week.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.